Thank you. Who gives this woman to this man? So on behalf of Jillian and Brandon, welcome to all of you. We're so glad that we can have this day and also with you all in attendance. What a nice change that came this week for this couple. Let's begin with singing a song of praise to God. Come, thou fount of every blessing. You find it in your programs, and we'll sing the three stanzas that you find there. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. May be seated. Brandon and Jill, if you can turn and face me. Let's begin this afternoon with prayer. Gracious God and merciful Father in heaven, we come with thanksgiving in this afternoon before you, for it is a special day, the wedding day of Jillian and Brandon. We thank you, Lord, for them, for the way you have blessed them in life, for the grace also that you have shown to them in bringing them to confess you as Savior and Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the way you have brought them to find each other and to grow together in a relationship to such a point that they want to commit to each other for life in covenant before you and before family and friends. Lord God, we praise you for this gift of love and companionship, and we pray that you will bless this couple, help them this afternoon as they will marry, as they will pledge themselves. Grant them grace, Lord God, not only to vow to each other, but also to live out those vows. We pray that you will grant them your Holy Spirit and that you will remember them according to all their needs. We pray that in their life and in their marriage, you may be glorified as the God of our salvation, the God also who in Christ Jesus is preparing an eternal wedding, an eternal feast, eternal glory for all who love you and belong to you. We pray, Lord, in thanksgiving that so many can be here, and especially that we can assemble in this way when a week ago we did not know that that would be possible. Lord, you have blessed us richly, and we praise you. So be with us in this ceremony. Bless also the opening of your word, as we will do that later and hear from you. We pray for each one in this sanctuary. Bless us all, Lord, according to our needs, and remember us in your mercy and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are gathered here as congregation of the Lord Jesus with family and friends to witness the confirmation of the marriage of Jillian Lee Such and Brandon Garrett Brink. It is good that marriage be confirmed in such a gathering and that God's blessing be asked to rest upon it. The Lord God reveals to us in his word that he has created man and woman and destined them for each other, giving them the gift and calling of marriage and promising his blessing upon it. Scripture teaches us that God, our Father, who created heaven and earth and all that is therein, created man in his image. Male and female he created them. He also said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And God blessed them, and God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." This excellent gift of God has been blemished, however, by man's fall into sin. And yet God, who is great in mercy, has been pleased to restore the unity of marriage and to confirm his blessing. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ has honored marriage as an institution of his heavenly Father by his presence and miracles at the marriage at Cana. He also condemned the breaking of the marriage bond when he said, "Therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate." In the apostolic teaching of the New Testament, marriage is recognized as a gift of God, sanctified through the word of God and through prayer. The apostle calls the unity in marriage a great mystery, which he relates to the unity between Christ and the church. For these reasons, the married state ought not to be lightly or thoughtlessly entered into, but with reverence and thankfulness and in the fear of the Lord. The bond of marriage for all of life may thus be a matter of joy, in which man and wife receive love and faithfulness from each other, assistance and dedication. Because of sin, married people also experience much trouble and affliction. Nevertheless, you may, as he has promised, be assured of the grace and help of the Lord. And that you and your marriage may live according to the commandments of God, and trusting in his promises, you ought to know for what reason the Lord has instituted marriage. In the first place, marriage is instituted in order that man and wife, joined together in true love, may belong to each other in joy, and may faithfully help each other in all things which belong to earthly and eternal life. In the second place, through marriage, the human race and also the church of the Lord are built. If it pleases God to give you children, you are to raise and guide them in the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Further, let every man live with his wife, and let every woman live with her husband, in accordance with the will of God and with a clear conscience, so that our bodies, as temples of the Holy Spirit, be not defiled. Next, you are to hear from the word of God how you are to behave towards each other in the married state. The man, Brandon, has been appointed by God to be the head of his wife, and he shall love his wife as Christ loves his church. He shall lead her and comfort her, serve her and protect her, even as Christ is the consolation and assistance to his church. The wife, Jillian, shall be subject to her husband, even as the church is subject to Christ. She shall love and serve her husband, follow him, care for the family with him, and display the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit. According to the commandment of God, you shall both do your work with faithfulness and dedication. You shall understand that your family is part of a larger community and that you have a calling with respect to church and society. Live in the fear of the Lord. Remember that you are heirs of the grace of life. Be forgiving and live together in wisdom, that your prayers be not hindered. So then, Brandon and Jillian, having understood that God has instituted marriage and what he commands you therein, do you declare before God and his holy church that it is your sincere intention to live in this holy state after this manner? And do you desire that your marriage be now solemnized? What is your answer, Brandon?
I do.
And Jillian?
I do.
The Lord God confirm your intention, which he has given you, and may the beginning of your marriage be in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth. At this point, we'll have you exchange vows. So I ask you to face each other.
I, Brennan Garrett Brink, do solemnly declare before God and this is Holy Church that I take to myself and acknowledge as my wife Jillian Lee Such here present. I promise that I will, with the gracious help of God, love, honor, and maintain you and live with you in the holy bonds of marriage, according to God's ordinance. I promise to be your husband, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish. And I promise never to forsake you from this day forward and until death do us part.
I, Jillian Lee Such, do solemnly declare before God and this is Holy Church that I take to myself and acknowledge as my husband, Brandon Garrett Brink, here present. I promise that I will, with the gracious help of God, love, honor, and obey you in all things lawful, and live with you and the holy bonds of marriage, according to God's ordinance. I promise to be your wife, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, and in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, and I promise never to forsake you from this day forward and until death do us part.
In accordance with the ordinances of God and by the civil authority vested upon me by the province of Ontario, I now pronounce you Brandon and Jillian, husband and wife. The Father of all mercies, who by his grace called you to this holy state of marriage, bind you in true love and faithfulness and grant you his blessing. Amen. At this point, we'll have you exchange rings. Brandon, do you give this ring to Jillian as a token of your constant faithfulness and abiding love?
I do.
And Jillian, do you give this ring to Brandon as a token of your constant faithfulness and abiding love?
I do.
And Brandon, you may kiss the bride. Hear now from the gospel how firm the bond of marriage is, as described in Matthew 19. The Pharisees came to Jesus tempting him and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? So then they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate.' They said to him, 'Why did Moses then command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?' He said to them, 'Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery.' Believe these words of Christ. And be certain and assured that your Lord God has joined you together in this holy state. You are therefore to receive whatever befalls you therein with patience and thanksgiving, as from the hand of God. And so all things will turn out to your advantage and salvation." Considering, however, that we have no good of ourselves and that all good gifts come from above, from the Father of lights, you are asked at this time to kneel before the face of the Lord so that we may pray with you and for you. And what we're going to do at this time is sing from the psalm in our program, Psalm 134, and sing only the first stanza. And during the singing of the first stanza, the couple will kneel. And after the first stanza, we will pray. And then I will ask you to rise and sing the second stanza. So at this time, only stanza one, and also the wedding party can be seated at this time as well. Merciful God and Father, who has brought this bride and bridegroom, Jillian and Brandon, together and united them through the bond of marriage, we thank you for the blessing given to them that they may go through life together under your care. Grant them this grace that through the love of Christ, they may more and more grow towards each other, bound together in the unity of the true faith. Grant them the strength of your Holy Spirit, enabling them as husband and wife to live together in their family according to your holy will. Grant them your favor that should it please you to give them children, they may raise them in accord with the promises and demands of your covenant in the instruction, discipline, and love of Christ. Sanctify the tie that binds them to their blessing, to the edifying of your church, as a witness to others, and to the glory of your holy name. Hear us, Father of all mercy, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, our Lord, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Congregation, please rise for the singing of stanza two. May be seated. Before you rise, Brandon and Jillian, it's always good to pause here and really seal this moment in your mind and heart. Because here you are kneeling, and what it represents is a spirit of dependence. And the reality is you are dependent. You are dependent on the Lord for all things. And may this not be the only moment that you kneel as a couple. Whether you physically kneel, but in your heart, in the posture of your heart together, be one of looking always to the Lord. You may rise. Hear yet the promise of God from Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. For you shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine by the sides of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. The Lord our God fill you with his grace and give you to live long together in all godliness and holiness. Amen. This time we will present you with a gift from the congregation, a wedding Bible, and I would like to call up your dad, Brennan, who's also an elder in the church, to make that presentation.
And Jillian, so I've been given this privilege on behalf of sister of this church and the congregation to give you your very first gift as a husband and wife. And you know, you each have your own personal Bibles. This will be your first family Bible together. It also contains everything that you need, not only for this life, but even more so, everything you need for eternal life. And it says in Proverbs 30, every word of God is pure. Every word. And we are called to heed it and to trust in his precious promises. For it goes on to say, he is a shield to those who put their trust in him. So I'd like to encourage you to read it together at your family devotion time and to seek out the wisdom contained in it, and that together through his word that you may grow spiritually as husband and wife. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you, Ed. This time we will all rise to sing the hymn, In Christ Alone. There's two stanzas in your program. Let's rise, and Brennan and Jillian, you can take your spot there by Jessica. And after the singing of this hymn, we will remain standing for the votum and salutation when we begin officially to worship the Lord. So standing to sing In Christ Alone, and please remain standing after. As we draw near to worship the Lord, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, and in Christ Jesus is an overflowing fountain of good. Congregation, receive the greeting of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to open God's word to the book of Psalms. You can find a copy of the Bible in the pew in front of you, the pew rack, and turn with me to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. In our pew Bibles, it's page 558. Psalm 146, let's read this psalm. The Word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. So far, the reading of God's Word. And dear Brandon and Jillian, together with your families and friends, what a special day indeed. And we are so thankful for the way everything has gone, has worked out, including that we can be way more than 10 here in the sanctuary, as we first thought it might have to be. The text that I've chosen for your wedding and what's to be the focus of this brief message is from this psalm that we read, Psalm 146, verse 5. And let me read that verse again for a moment. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So that's your wedding text. And what it's about, obviously, is the truly happy individual, or we might say happy and blessed. Many times the same word is translated as blessed. Think of Psalm 1, for instance. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Or in the New Testament, the Beatitudes, blessed is the poor, or are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So happy, blessed, same root word behind our two English words. And what's important to know is that this happiness and this blessedness is very deep and very powerful. It is more than feeling happy, although it can include feeling happy, but it is more than that. It is about being well, truly, thoroughly, continually well. Even when circumstances may be not so well as can be, still, deep down, you are well. You are happy. You are blessed. And what our text is telling you and telling all of us is how to be that, how to be happy, and how to be blessed. And obviously, it's speaking individually. It refers to the happy man. Happy is the man. But this afternoon, let's apply it to marriage, and especially to your brand new marriage, Brandon and Jillian. How to be happy and blessed together. That's the focus. And God's Word is proclaiming the way for you. Maybe we can start by saying this is surely a pressing issue. I mean, how to be happy and blessed, it's a pressing issue. Because you know that marriage by itself will not do this for you. I mean, marriage by itself will not make you happy and blessed. I know that maybe sounds surprising, maybe confusing, but it's really the case. Simply getting married, as you just did, simply getting married is not by itself able to make you or anyone truly happy or blessed. Now, it's true that our culture does not think like this. Our society and our culture makes marriage, or at least romantic relationships, our society and culture make them ultimate. So much so that the subtle messaging is you're not really living if you're not in a relationship. Now, of course, and just to be balanced, it's great to be married. And many of us may experience that and enjoy that. And truly, what a gift from God. And what a gift for a man and woman to find each other and commit together and live as husband and wife. How good of God to give this to us, also in spite of the fall of man so long ago. And yet for all that, we have to be clear still, marriage by itself Simply getting married cannot be the key to being happy and blessed together. It's not because you did this that you get that. And just think how we know. We know because think of people who are married and meanwhile they are not happy and not blessed. And rather, they are miserable and cursed. We all maybe know people like that. People that are married, but meanwhile they are not happy. They are married, but at the same time, they are not blessed. Instead, they are sad, or they are lonely, or they are broken, or they are discontent, or they are always in conflict. And all the time they are married, and yet they are not happy. They are not blessed. Why is that? Why doesn't getting married fix everything? The answer has to do with two things at least. One is that life is still hard even when you get married. Life is still hard even when you get married. It's already hard when we are alone. Now, it's not always hard, of course, and it's not all hard. There can be many joys and high points and wonderful experiences in life. That's true for married and single. Many joys and high points and wonderful things, and yet at the same time, and again for both married and single, alongside joys, there are sorrows. And next to high points, there are low points. And even while there may be many wonderful experiences, there can also be very dreadful, very sorrowful, very difficult experiences. And we all know this, stating the obvious. Just think of the last 15 months and the many challenges we've all had to face. And we're still not free. And the reality is when COVID is over, sooner or later, there will be something else. Because that's life in a broken world. And we live in a broken world. So it's often hard. And the thing is, getting married doesn't change that. Again, stating the obvious, but often forgotten. Because at some level, we tend to think, and even it can be the way we talk, people get married and they live happily ever after. Right? Today is the start of all your dreams coming true. It only gets better and better. That's not so. Not automatically so. Instead, people get married and life continues to be hard. So that's one reason to keep in view why marriage can't fix everything. The other thing is that when you marry, you're still you. You don't change all that much. And for all of us, that's true. And as much as there's a lot of good also to say about both of you, and you see in each other, and that's great. Still, the reality is you're both sinners. Sometimes selfish, maybe stubborn, set in your ways, not always so easy to change. And we're all like that by nature. And marriage doesn't transform us. In fact, all that changes is that now you end up in the same house with the same four walls. You and another sinner like you. You eat at the same table and you sleep in the same bed. And as you do that, you inevitably sin still, also against each other. And the two of you will experience that. You will struggle, as happens with every couple. Sharp words maybe, or misunderstanding, or impatience, failing to love. See, marriage by itself doesn't change who we are. Rather, it has a way of exposing who we are, painfully so, and sometimes facilitating even very unhelpful and bad habits and patterns. How often we can sin most at home and with those whom we love. Now you may think, well, all right, but isn't this all rather negative? It's a wedding day after all. But it's simply to underscore the point that learning to be happy and blessed is a pressing question, a pressing issue. And how vital and urgent that you also learn. And it's helpful then to acknowledge that. As joyful as today is, and it is, let's be realists. Marriage by itself cannot make you happy and blessed. It was never meant to. And meanwhile, we are sinners still. So how then can we be happy and blessed? Also, now together, as is the case for the two of you. Well, here is where our text is so clear and so good. God's word is always good, but also now in this instance. Let me read it again. Happy or blessed is he or they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God. So as you can see, this text is talking about help and hope. What precious words in the context of need and trouble and struggling. So where can we look and to whom can we go for all our needs and how to make it in life? And again, thinking of marriage, how to love each other always and to stay committed and to work through differences and to grow as a couple and to be a blessing to others. How to do all that and more. Well, back in verse 3 and 4, the psalmist says, don't look ultimately to any man to do that. Don't look to poor, weak, perishing man. The psalmist highlights princes, government. No, government can't solve our problems. Of course, we know that very well. But neither can anyone else. Neither can you yourself. Not even together. The mantra of today is, we've got this. We can manage it. We have the power. No, the Bible says, people are limited, weak, helpless, and someday die. No mere man can help you in life, in marriage, with yourself. Well, there can be some help, maybe the wisdom of parents, family, friends, a counselor, a helpful perspective in a book or something. Maybe you go to a conference and you learn, or simply through experience in life. We can learn, that's true, but in terms of ultimate help and where to put our hope, no man is enough. No, what the psalmist wants us to understand is only the Lord. That's the point of the text. That's what we need to see. The Lord can help. The Lord alone must be your help and your hope. But why is that? What is it about the Lord that he can help where no one else can? The answer has to do with who he is and what he is like. And this psalm can tell us so much about him. It tells us that the Lord is a gracious, almighty, faithful Savior God. That's what it tells us. The Lord is a gracious, almighty, faithful Savior God. Let me show you quickly how we can learn that. For example, he's called here the God of Jacob. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob. Jacob was one of the patriarchs. Think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That Jacob. Later he's given the name Israel. But this man, he was fundamentally not a good man. When you read the history, he was a chronic liar. He was a skilled cheat. You couldn't trust Jacob. And yet the Lord became his God. The God of Jacob, as we read here. And the Lord showed thereby his grace. Also now to us, he does not deal with us as our sins deserve, but he is merciful. He is kind and gracious. And what a help that is already. And what hope that gives to sinners as they marry. Because it means we can go to him when we mess up. And who doesn't mess up? Who hasn't messed up? But we can go to him. We can call on him. And we find him to be the God of Jacob, a God of grace. Think too how the Lord is almighty and faithful and ultimately a Savior. In the second half of the text, he is described as the Lord our God. And that word Lord is all capital letters, which means it's a reference to his covenant name. Think Jehovah or Yahweh. And it points to his strength and how he is a rock, how he is a faithful God, and how he will be a Savior to his people, even in their sin and from their sin. And he will save them. And really all who call on him, everyone coming to him and confiding in him, he saves. And he's able. He's so able. In fact, what's very special about the rest of the psalm is the way it lays out all kinds of things the Lord does. Like how he's our creator. And how he's trustworthy. And how he's just and kind and generous. And so compassionate. And meanwhile, those who are wicked, Those who persist in their sin and in their unbelief, he frustrates them and he conquers them. And all that to say, there really is no one like this Lord our God. This is all that he says about himself in this psalm, how he's almighty, faithful, Savior God. And he's teaching us with these words, and he's seeking to draw us into himself. And think how what we know here in this psalm gets confirmed so beautifully and so gloriously much later in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son whom God sends to us and for us, and to be the revelation of God to us, and to be the special way God helps us. Because what does Jesus do? Well, he suffers and he dies for all the sin of all his people. By the way, let's remember how that meant for him in that moment. No help. He was forsaken by his Father. He was abandoned to judgment and wrath as he was offering himself in the place of sinners like us. Oh, how he suffered beyond what we can imagine. But he did it so that he might be able to put our sin away forever. Yes, even for all who turn to him and trust in him. In him, don't we confess, we get forgiveness. Now that's help. That's ultimate help. And hope too. For he gives us the promise of eternal life all through what he has done. And then as we trust him, he further helps us and gives us hope in all of the circumstances of our life. He gives us grace and wisdom and strength. He teaches us how to live well. He teaches us how to live in marriage well. How to keep our word. How to be helps to one another. How to work through differences. How to overlook the weaknesses of one another. And to bear with shortcomings and to grow stronger together and to thrive as married people, even amidst all the challenges and disappointments and trials we may undergo. Grace, wisdom, and strength from the Lord our God. Oh, there is help to be found with him and hope like no other. And so he really is the key to being happy and blessed. And individually that's true. And as married, that's true. So that raises the question, another question. What do you do together to experience this happiness? What do you do together to enjoy this blessedness? Well, how important that you go to the Lord. How important that you learn to seek him and call on him together. It's already been mentioned in the presentation of the Bible. And when you knelt together for prayer, it's already been highlighted, but it's worth reinforcing. Make sure to pray together and to read the Word of God together. And make sure to do it regularly and even every day. How important it is. And likewise, to join with the congregation in worship and to be involved and to hear God's Word preached and to be accountable to God's people. And to be led continually to the feet of him through whom we are forgiven and by whom we are renewed. How essential all these things are. And they need to be part of the foundation that you maintain as a couple and through all that you meet with in life. And I know, Brandon and Jillian, I know that's what you want. And that's good. And this message is meant simply to encourage you. To encourage you. Here you are starting out. And we are also happy for you. But you're going to need help and hope, as we all do. And where can you find it? Only with the Lord, but surely with the Lord. And so look to him and trust to him. Trust in him. He is the way to be happy and blessed. And that's for all of us, congregation. That's for all of us. Do we not want also to be happy and blessed, personally and if we're married, in married life too, of course we want happiness and blessing. But here then is the way. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Aim to live close to him and in dependence on him. He never turns anyone away who comes to him No matter what they bring to him, he never turns anyone away. And all who come find out it's true. Happy is he. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Amen. Let's pray together. O God of Jacob, gracious, faithful, Savior God, where can we look for help? In whom else can we trust and hope but in you? And we pray that you will bless also this word for Brandon and Jillian as they start out here on this day, this first day of their life together as husband and wife. Will you remember them? Will you sanctify them? Will you teach them from out of your word? Will you grant them to experience over and over again that in seeking you, they find happiness and blessing like nothing else? We pray, Lord, for that for all of us. And we thank you that we may pray for it, that you have made a way also through the sending of your Son and through all that he endured, so that sinners may be forgiven, so that we may receive the Holy Spirit, so that through faith in you, we may begin to walk in newness of life. O Lord, we pray that you will bless this word also this afternoon for us all, and grant that each one and all of us all together may experience increasingly the truth of what you tell us. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God. We give thanks again that we could be together this afternoon. How you have blessed us, Lord, very richly. Remember further the time that's shared together. And then when we go our separate ways, O Lord, watch over us and keep us. And grant that you may continue to lead us by your truth and by your Spirit and in your everlasting way. We pray all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. This time I invite you to open the blue hymn book, Psalter book in your pew, and we'll turn to number 400. 400, which is from this psalm, and we'll sing stanza 1, 2, 3, and 7. 400, stanza 1, 2, 3, and 7. We'll do so standing and remain standing for the benediction and the doxology. Let's rise. After the benediction, we will sing Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And remain standing to sing that doxology. Receive now the blessing of the Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. This time, most of you can be seated. We'll just have the couple and their attendants come forward to sign the documents. So at this time, we've come to the end of the ceremony, and shortly we'll present the couple. Just before we do so, two COVID matters. We don't anymore have formal reception lines, so the wedding party will exit, and then all of us, and feel free to greet them and congratulate them as you find them, and according to your comfort level. Ice cream is also being served outside, and we can line up for that, and we're just reminded also to keep appropriate space and distance as per the things we're used to these days. With that, it's now time to present Brandon and Jillian. I present to you, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. Brandon and Jillian Brink.